Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Dragon Soul by Mark Secchia. Narrated by Aaron Bennett. Chapter 1. Awakening to Death. She's dying. Grandian's words were brittle, laced with dark fires. They pierced Hualiama's awareness like whetted scalpels. Grievous, wounding, shocking her toward full consciousness.
You cannot restrain your daughter this way, Empress.
Saffurian's deeper, smokier tones, torrid with anger.
That thing is not my daughter,
Aziala hissed. Silence pooled about Lea, as thick as congealed blood. Dying? Even her mother's hatred paled in the light of the tourmaline dragon's distress. How could she be dying? Last she remembered, mercy. A violent battle above the dragon's bell, falling, burning in the crucible of Razior's incandescent dragon fire, and then a miracle of claw and scale. Or had she dreamed of a place to which a soul alone could travel? The Empress of the Lost Island snarled.
Even now, the lizard awakes. Remember our bargain, Grandian. 6 days to report, 1 week to recover. The comet presages the rising of Dramagon's elect. This is the dawn of our long overdue vengeance upon the island world.
Footsteps tapped rapidly into the distance as the Empress departed. Suddenly, huge nostrils snuffled at her neck. The startling delicacy of that touch raised the most incredible frissons of sensation throughout her body. Hualiama would have giggled, save that she felt utterly debilitated, as if a rolling island had slowly pulverized the length of her spine. The battle must have just finished. Where was she? By the nearby cave-contained echoes upon stone, she suspected Aziala's lair at Chenok Island, the most westerly of the Lost Islands. How had she returned here? Her skull felt as if it were clamped around a granite boulder, every thought dragged through a wearisome quagmire of pain.
How does she resist so strongly?
Grandian wondered in telepathic dragonish.
All those drugs, the battering of 50 enchanters augmenting her mother's powers, and Leah's mind remained inviolable.
Yet they stole all of our secrets, Shell Father. They ripped us apart like a dragon, stripping flesh from bone.
You must arise, O Princess of Fra'anior, said Saffurian, nuzzling her flank. Quick wings.
Grandian said,
Princess? No longer.
A royal ward, aye. Far too much nuisance value to be a real princess. As surely as the twin sun's rising, her adoptive father, King Chalcian, would disown her for outright rebellion, not to mention breaking his ribs. He had vowed to renounce her often enough over the years. Now she had learned the identities of her true birth father and birth mother, each as hateful and power-hungry as the other, and she remembered Aziala slaying Ra'aba, the rock, with her own hand. Then, the mystery shrouding Hualiama's existence in the womb, a child, dead for 2 days, returned to life. Impossible. Yet here she lay, her nostrils filled with the fusty odors of a well-used rug.
Hualiama, said the dragon elder, nudging her again. By my wings, Grandian, I'd give all the jewels of Geishior for the healing powers of my Qualiana this hour. Take her quickly to the land dragon, Shell Son. Secure the healing she needs. So that Aziala might employ her powers in the annihilation of all who oppose her planned conquest?
Yet the nuances of Grandian's dragonish betrayed his deep concern.
Focus on the mission,
Sefurian growled. Aye. In her mind's eye, Leah saw Grandian's huge, spiky blue head nodding.
My dragon love will find a way. That is her gifting. The one power even the Empress of the Dragon Haters cannot possibly oppose.
Right then, Leah knew she could not have opposed pollen floating on a Fra'aniorian zephyr.
Grandian?
Her drawn-out mental groan elicited bugles and exclamations of delight from the male dragons, but she had never felt so peculiar. Her body felt unaccountably heavy, while her belly enlivened to a fizzing, effervescing sensation that made Leah imagine having swallowed a nest of vexed hornets. Grandian and Sefurian's fussing caused constellations of iridescent fire to explode behind her unyielding eyelids. Her spinal column, especially at its base near her tailbone, tingled with exotic fervor, giving rise to an incongruous compulsion to dance over thunderclouds and slide down rainbows singing at the top of her lungs. Clearly, her brain had been pickled at length in a barrel of berry wine.
Sefurian urged, Dragon swift now, Shelson. Snaffle the dragon friend into your paw. Wing away ere the hater changes her mind.
Talon tips prodded her belly. Another paw rolled her carefully onto her side. Draconic warmth. Soft, yet steely, Grandian's well-known paw enfolded her limbs and ribs. The cinnamon vanilla redolence of his hide tickled her nostrils with forbidden scents.
Mind her fragile wings, hissed the tourmaline.
Wings?
Leah chortled aloud. Silly dragons. Her overlarge eyes fluttered open, strangely unfocused, lighting upon a world swirling and cascading with white fire filigrees.
Astonishing.
Oh, and a large blue nose hove into view, slap between her eyes.
Achoo!
As she sneezed, clouds of sulfurous white smoke spurted from her nostrils. Leah gasped.
Oh no!
It had not been a dream. Clasped in the tourmaline's protective paw, the bewildered hatchling dragoness was but an observer as Grandian charged up a short ramp, flitted between a massive set of sliding granite doors, and launched out over the void. Sun's beams caressed her flesh. They gilded the male dragon's gemstone beauty as his great body stretched out upon the breeze, blotting out the sky above. For Grandian measured over 90 feet from muzzle to tailspike and 110 feet across his fully extended wingtips. He powered upward into frigid skies, the fathomless blue of a terrace lake seen by moonlight, swiftly surmounting the snow-rimed crown of Chenok Island. Leah's vision wobbled violently before settling upon the twin suns dipping gingerly into the vast, burnt umber cloudlands ocean stretching west of the Lost Isles. At once, her secondary nictitating membranes flicked into place, filtering the powerful glare. Her gaze dipped to goggle myopically at her unfamiliar body. Flying Ralty sheep, well, not exactly a woolly bleater, not in a million island world dawns. She saw scales of a blue as fathomless as the colors crowning the evening sky. Four neat reptilian limbs sprouted from her svelte torso. Five perfect little talons adorned each forepaw, slightly bigger on her hind feet. Three talons pointed forward, splayed more widely than a human hand, while two opposing thumbs completed a fantastically dexterous dragon's paw. Leah flicked her wings in mounting astonishment. She gaped at her flanks, as sleek as any rainbow trout. Only under a mystic moon could this be real. The tourmaline dragon's fire eyes lit upon her, and Hualiama quivered beneath the tenor of his regard. All 12 feet of her, right down to her tail. What a wondrously weird notion.
Awake, O dragon song of my soul? Inquired Grandian ardently.
I'm a dragon? Still?
His brow ridges crinkled with amusement. Switching to island standard, he rumbled,
Most dragonkind share a similar experience every morn, Hualiama. Aye, by my wings, you remain a star dragoness. Your dreams have taken wing. By Fra Anio's breath alone, never in the history of this island world has such a transformation clothed human flesh in draconic splendor. You are,
his voice descended into a husky splutter,
indescribable. I understand at last. Our oaths, our fire promises, all is made whole. The prophecy is fulfilled by such perfection. A dragon's hearts must outsoar the very stars.
A million words could have been spoken. All that was perverse and forbidden about a liaison between a human and a dragon, all their suppressed feelings and uncertainty and terror, had perished in Razior's mighty fires, only to arise phoenix-like from the ashes, arrayed in a glorious newness of possibility. She was a mere hatchling in size, but fully dragoness. Undeniably, wholly, the embodiment of a draconic fire soul. Yet was this the whole story? The prophecy Grandian alluded to, which Amarillion the ancient dragon had uttered, foresaw the advent of a third great race upon the stage of island world life. A third power would rise to balance that of humankind and dragonkind, ushering in a time of imbalance and foreshadowing the overthrow of ancient powers. She was the harbinger of this age. Lea quashed her fears. Of this, she could not speak as yet. Let his joy shine unsullied. Tentatively, she inquired,
Indescribable. In the best possible way?
How he laughed. His guffaws propelled them toward the brightening stars in a series of great lurches, and when Lea managed to focus her eyes past his body to the open skies, she saw a marvelous sight, a brilliant comet blazing right across the midline of the blue moon, its major tail trailing more than halfway across the sky, while a second, smaller white tail spun off at a narrow angle. The comet of prophecy? It must be this new portent. As she gazed at the diamond brilliant phenomenon, the cosmic white fires shifted like sweeping veils to reveal a great white dragon sleeping in the comet's heart. Cold, callous, eloquent of all that was formidable and supremely dominant about the ancient dragonkind. So desperately soul-shadowing was that apparition, Lea gasped and squeezed her eyes shut. The tourmaline immediately comforted her with a mellifluous word, saying,
A life birthed in fire. Star dragons sing star song over her cradle.
She whispered, The prophecy is coming to fruition.
The dragon made a low, agreeable hum.
Let us not speak of prophecies, my third heart. Let us simply be two dragons, enjoying the freedom of the skies together.
Two dragons? Even those simple words triggered mystical white fires which cascaded afresh across her vision, an insight into the fabled elemental fires of the draconic creation legend, the belief that all matter, in its most elemental form, was comprised of white fires. White for order, truth, and love, for the most desirable manifestations of dragonhood. Dark fires represented chaos, depression, and eternal obliteration, symbolic of all that dragons feared most. When she ventured another glance, she saw only a comet. All mysticism and lore aside, Leah did not exactly feel stuffed to the eyeballs with the mischief of a frisky dragonet. She wanted to shift her position in Grandian's right forepaw, but the slightest movement produced unbearable pain. Was this what he meant? Her wings felt weighed down with lead, and her heart's beat was sluggish and labored. Dragons were meant to be full of vim and fire and irascibility. It was all Leah could do to hold up her head.
Grandian, why did you say I'm dying?
His heavy sigh expelled many cubic feet of creamy, chthonic smoke from his nostrils and caused him to bounce in the chill evening air.
Because 2 weeks have passed.
2 weeks? 18 days, Grandian? You jest.
His reflexive growl simmered down.
2 weeks ago, the Empress of the Lost Islands laid all dragons low. Last week, she allowed Sephurian and me to wake from the command hold. Since then, we have plumbed every ounce of lore and skill we possess to discern the cause of your illness and keep you alive, but to no avail. Your eye fires grow dim. Your breath weakens. Your claws and hide are losing their natural sheen.
I don't understand.
I drove a bargain with the Empress. A vile soul-shadowing necessity.
He spat a stream of fire from the corner of his mouth.
I speak of her, and of my fierce yet worthless pride. You crossed the island world for a blind dragon. You, dragon friend, wooed and battled and tore a defeated Tourmaline from the place of uttermost null fires and gifted him life. How could my fires answer these deeds, I roared. How despicably did I treat you in return?
His grieving thunder split the skies, rolling over the archway crowning the peak of Chenok Island. The place of reaving where Hualiama had suffered, frozen solid, and become Blue Star, the embodiment of her name. Was that the moment dragonfire had entered her soul? Surely, she had lived with the fire since before her birth. The white and blue moons, waxing to fullness, stood almost shoulder to shoulder in the darkling skies to shine their baleful gaze across the Lost Islands, which loomed above the pallid cloudlands like linked bracelets, two loops of islands joined by northern and southern bridges across the buffer zone, that symbol of eternal enmity and the battleground between human-controlled territory to the west and dragon territory to the east. The islands were geographically anomalous in many ways, but none more so than in terms of climate. The human isles were bitterly cold, caught in the frozen grip of an almost permanent midwinter, while the dragon isles, despite their extreme northern latitude, remained balmy in comparison. Knowledge gleaned from the dragon hater's extraordinary mind meld informed Leah that most crops were husbanded in sheltered valleys near thermal springs or vents, while most human communities relied on artificially warmed underground strongholds for survival. Bitterly, the dragon hissed,
"We were as human babes in the Enchantress's paw, Ralty sheep. The Empress snuffed us out. Our fires, our life. You alone defied your mother, even drugged at 20 times the permitted dose, despite being beaten and tortured. Your fires burned anyone who dared enter your mind, more draconic than the mightiest of the dragon kind. Listen to my dark fire's jealousy, Hualiama. Listen."
"I listen," she growled back at once, stung beyond forbearance. "I hear Grandian, the great-hearted."
"Who is he?"
"The one for whom I burned."
"Grrrr!"
Yet the thunderous crack of his storm power betrayed deeper emotions. Relief, amazement, delight that she suspected was centered upon the scrap of draconic life he clutched in his paw. Infusing her voice with a snap of command, she said,
"Situational assessment, dragon? Brief me.
He gave her a quirky look, mouth agape like a hound with its tongue lolling. By the fiery pits of Fra'anior, this must be the smallest dragon elder I have ever beheld. Don't try my patience, Tourmaline, or you'll break out in song and dance. The deadly dancer? She smiled wryly, agog at the unfamiliar sensation of lips stretching over 100 needle-sharp fangs. As a dragon, that'll all be different now. You danced into my heart, human girl. Fualiama did not point out the obvious, but the slight hitch in Grandian's breathing told her he had noticed his mistake. No, human no longer. That truth had flown into the night. However, he was being awfully sweet. Was this a result of the liberation they had both craved for so long? Freedom at last to enjoy togetherness and romance, even if their time must be shadowed by an island-shaking war to come. How could she stop her delightful birth mother from abusing her daughter's powers in conquest of the island world? If daughter she was, Leah wished she understood. How could a person spring from a human womb yet experience lucid, eggling dreams? And oh, she remembered the impish, blue-haired Hualiama she had discovered within her, who had promised that after a surprise, all would become clear. Fat, waddling chance of that, she snorted inwardly. Plenty of surprise, and all the clarity of a sultry, volcanic thunderstorm rolling across the 27 islands of her native Fra'anior cluster. Her eyes rested speculatively on the twin holes from which a dragon's breath of uttermost winter had emerged to bathe her bones in the reaving. She had lost her necklace down there, the simple thong upon which she had threaded the white dragoness's scale. Mama Fire. The eggling had called the white dragoness, who had somehow enraged Fra'anior himself, Mama Fire. Eggling and Mother Dragon had protected each other, impossibly, across time and space. So little made sense. A dream, an echo of Amarillion's power within her. It must be. Grandian said, No, I forbid you to seek that necklace. Far too dangerous an undertaking for a hatchling. How did you know? Smoke boiled past her nose. Wow. The direction of your gaze, he said. That was the one token I possessed of my past, she replied, painfully aware of how much the nuances of her dragonish revealed. A token, he said. My duty is to protect your hatchling life. Forgive me, but I cannot allow it. Forgive? Allow? Hualiama's head shook involuntarily, sparking spasms of pain in her torso. Could she so much as shake a wingtip? Perhaps Grandian was right. He was a changed dragon, almost human in the tenor of some of his emotions. What traditionalist firebrand of a dragon, such as Razior or Andaraz the Green, would ever apologize or ask forgiveness? It was simply undraconic. Now her belly fires churned alarmingly. Her Grandian was more a thinking, compassionate dragon, insightful in his outlook and ways. He had never been willing to simply charge through life without reflecting upon his actions, though he had made mistakes and did not always apologize immediately. He always returned to those events, chewing them like a dragon sharpening his fangs on a meaty bone. Faintly, she said, I've much head knowledge about dragons, Grandian. Now I need to learn how to be one. Will you help me?
I'd be honored, replied the Tourmaline, with an aerial genuflection of his wings.
I shall be a model student, Leah joked, but the pain returned, sharper and more debilitating than before. Ah!
How can I help, O fire song of my soul?
Speak. Distract me with stories.
She must hold out. Siumiol had healed Grandian's sight. Surely he could heal a dragoness of whatever strange malady had incapacitated her. Shortly, Grandian said,
Following the battle at the Dragon's Bell, Aziala returned to her fortress to recoup. Many dragon ships were lost in the battle, and many of her dragon enchanters were slain, including a number of powerful counselors. You do understand that she sees your accomplishments in rebellion as further proof of your fitness to rule at her right hand.
Leah did not. Reflection gave way to pain spreading through her limbs, as thick and slow as treacle, cloying and clinging to every newfound pathway of her being. She was a star dragoness, supposedly. She had touched Sephirion with white fire power and restored his life. Yet she could not heal herself. She must struggle. Summon the power. Fight.
You alone resisted the command hold, the Tourmaline continued. They could not apply the magic successfully. The Empress set to work upon you with 50 enchanters, and with torture and drugs meant to break your mental resistance. But in a week, all they achieved was to fly headlong against the adamantine fortress of your mind. They lost a further 11 of their strongest and fittest to your fires. Now, Sephirion and I are commanded to find healing for you. The Empress threatens to use your kin and the lives of all dragons against you should you deviate from her plans.
She gasped. Dying is not an option?
Our fates depend on your continued health, Grandian confirmed.
Aphurion?
The Lost Island's dragons remain at large. Aziala seems content to make her preparations, but many dragonkind have been sacrificed to raise up new counselors and to clothe her dragon ships.
Her eyes no longer responded. Elki? Sao? Oh, Grandian, I burn.
An eruption of agony knotted her limbs and wings. Hualiama faded as if she had fallen into the cloudlands. Darkness conquered her heart, soul, and mind. She walked amidst stars. So dark was the night, its blackness seemed cut of velveteen cloth. Whereas before, the stars had dazzled. Now they appeared diminished, bowed over a hexagonal colonnade of milky white marble. She knew. She ran, holding nothing back. Above, the stars bowed over a wide bed covered in pristine white linens, stooping to chime elegiac star song over the girl slumbering there.
No!
Leah sprinted up the white marble steps to the bedside.
Oh no, human girl.
She lay so still. A wealth of wavy white blonde hair tumbled over the pillows, lackluster, blending into the sheets. Her skin was snow rather than her native Fraoniorian tan.
What have I done? Wake up. Oh mercy, wake up. Please, my darling petal, wake!
At one level, Hualiama's mind whirled between amazement at calling herself human girl and the incongruity of her identical twin inhabiting her dreams once more. She touched her own blue tresses, thinking,
This is me? Who am I?
But far more urgent was the realization that the bones of the sleeper's knuckles, where her hand lay carelessly outflung upon the linens, pressed against her pale, almost translucent flesh like jagged peaks seeking to worm their way through the thinnest of parchment, that her exposed left cheekbone described a sepulchral slash above the hollow of her cheek. She had aged 40 years, appearing withered, just the husk, the sweet youth of 21 summers, burned away. Leah bit her knuckles.
Oh, Petal, help me understand.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?